Music plays an important part in the lives of most cultures, including those in Zimbabwe. More than 70 years ago, township music started as a symbol of identity and descent in colonial Africa. Today, the music has grown full circle. A new book traces the roots and evolution of urban music in Zimbabwe. Joyce Jenje Makwenda is the author of Zimbabwe Township Music and produced the accompanying CD. She's currently working on a master's degree of music at Witwatersrand University in Johannesburg, South Africa. Joyce, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
For people who don't understand what township life means in the Zimbabwean context, what was the political impetus for it, and what did it really mean on the day-to-day?
The townships were places where black people were allowed to stay. So a place maybe like Mbare, where my grandparents settled in 1931, our neighbors were from Malawi, were from South Africa. So all those cultures which came together and came up with what they call township culture, which was not for a particular tribe. And then for them to entertain themselves, they started to sing their traditional music, and they brought that music together. So that music became a symbol of identity, in the sense that when they played music, people would come and also discuss politics, how they lived, and they helped in the formation of nationalism.
Let's mention a few of the people who you reference in this book, and you reference so many of them. Mm-hmm. August Masarurwa, you have a song that he actually did, that Louis Armstrong covered. But tell me a little bit about him first, and then how Louis Armstrong would come to cover his work.
August Masarurwa was a musician in the police force. He played the saxophone, and Gallo Recording Company was recording in Zimbabwe. They were scouting for talent, and they saw August Masarurwa, and August Masarurwa was playing with his band, the Cold Storage Band. And then when they recorded him, they asked him what was the name of the tune that he was playing, and he said it was Skokiana. The meaning of Skokiana is beer which was brewed in the townships. You could brew it in a day because people were not allowed to drink clear beer. They were also not allowed to brew their own beer, which would take 7 days. So August Masarurwa celebrated the beer into a song.
This is a broader question, but how much do you think American musicians paid attention to Southern African music, whether it was township music or the music coming from South Africa?
It was people like Louis Armstrong who paid attention to Zimbabwean music then, and then introduced it to the whole world.
You have a chapter about music promoters, and yes. They come from different racial backgrounds. Can you tell me just very briefly a couple of their names and how they could come together to build racial bridges as well as to make music?
People like Eileen Haddam came from an organization which was trying to use music to destroy Calabar, because they saw the power in music. Music has no bounds, and the language is understood by anyone, even if you don't understand the language itself. So Eileen Haddon used to come to the township to collect musicians, and sometimes she would use her own house for people to come and watch the musicians play. And then one day Eileen Haddon and Pat Travers organized a show which they invited black, white, and by the time the police discovered that there was a multiracial show, it was too late. It was about to finish, and they had achieved their goal, and people that day saw African musicians sing, and they couldn't believe it because people were separated by colors.
So you've just told us about, you know, the different ways that this music developed in terms of, you know, audience and race. I want you to mention one more musician, Susan Mapfumo.
Susan Mapfumo came in the 70s, and I always say Susan Mapfumo was ahead of her time, because during the 70s, people had not even heard the word feminism, feminist or whatever. But the way she wrote her music was from a feminist angle, and she was not intimidated by anyone, and she sang songs that talked for women during that time, like Bababa Boyima Ita Say, what has happened to you, my husband, you're not bringing money to the family. And she wrote songs to do with the plight of women, and she was the first woman to own her own musical instruments and also to lead a band. Susan was ahead of her time, and she was a great composer.
I understand that you also just produced a CD with four young women and recorded music by Zimbabwean women musicians from the 50s through the 70s. How did that get started? And tell me more about that project.
I decided to go back to the 50s up to the 70s and revive that music. But then reviving the music was a way of also passing it on to the new generation of young women musicians. And by passing it on to young women musicians, it would also be appreciated by their peers, you know. So I collected music from the 50s by Dorothy Masugu, by the two singing nuns, Susan Mapfumo, Susan Chenjerai, who was around in the 60s, by Jenny Chenjerai, and I brought four young women musicians, and they did versions of that music, which was rearranged by one of the best producers in Southern Africa, Louis Mhlanga.
Well, Joyce, it's good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Farai.
Music researcher, filmmaker, and author Joyce Jenje-Mkwenda. Her latest book is Zimbabwe Township Music, and she was at the BBC Studios in Johannesburg, South Africa.